In the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I looked at the scripture lessons appointed for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, and I'm thinking, these are crammed so full of doctrine. I mean, there is no way you could preach a short sermon on any of these texts. So I flipped a coin and chose 2 Thessalonians. Not really. But there is a lot here. And we can only skim over the surface in the 5.5 hours allotted to my sermon. I'm going to tell you something that you may find hard to believe. Christ has not yet returned in glory. Christ has not yet reappeared to make all things new. The church is still waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did anyone have any doubts or questions about that? I don't think so. You know very well that Christ has not yet returned. And yet the congregation in Thessalonica, a congregation that Paul established, had been troubled by rumors that Christ had already returned and that they had missed out somehow, that they had not participated in the wonder and joy and glory that would be ushered in following Jesus' return. So Paul writes in the portion of 2 Thessalonians that we heard today to the church to calm people down, to assure them that Christ has not yet returned. He will, but not yet, Paul tells him. So don't agonize about these things, don't worry about these things, and don't let anyone deceive you regarding these matters. Let's face it, there is a lot of false teaching out there about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a whole lot of things that are taught and believed that have no basis in the Scripture. We could go into that, but again, I could only skim the surface, but let's give you just a quick rundown. People will say peace. Men and women will be marrying and given in marriage. Things will go on much as they always have, and then suddenly destruction will come upon them unexpectedly. Destruction will come upon unbelievers, and the new heavens and the new earth will be fashioned instantly, made new in the blink of an eye. Christ will return to make all things new, and to gather His people to Himself. That's the way it is. That's what Paul writes consistently in his epistles, how it will be. And our job as believers, our responsibility as those baptized into the name of the triune God, is to be prepared for Jesus' coming, to await His coming with eagerness, to pray, Maranatha, which means come quickly, Lord, to long for His coming, because when He comes again, when Christ returns, it is, as I said, to make all things new. The former things will have passed away. The things that we know so well in this life, sorrow, pain, death, loss, tragedy, warfare, illness, accident. I could go on and on. These bad things which make up so much a part of life in this fallen world, are all too familiar with us. And God did not create the earth imperfect. God did not create the human race imperfect. It was because of the sin of Adam and Eve, who had been given dominion over God's creation, that they fell. Subsequently, the entirety of the human race fell. We were conceived and born in iniquity and sin, as David writes in Psalm 51. But again, God did not intend for the world to be like that. God created His creation good. At the end of the 6 days of creation, He said, "It is very good. It's just what I wanted, just what I had planned." And then the serpent, the devil, in the form of the serpent, tempted Eve. Eve gave the forbidden fruit to Adam. Adam sinned, and thus we have all sinned in the likeness of Adam. The wages of sin is death, and death spread to all people because all have sinned. And so it goes. So it goes in your family's history, in my family's history. So it will go with you. So it will go with your children and your grandchildren. And during the remainder of your life, during your children's life, who knows what difficulties will be faced? Who knows what hardships, what tragedies will come upon them? We don't know. But one thing we do know, and what Paul wants to assure the church at Thessalonica of, is that the day of the Lord will come. It's confessed in the Creed. It's taught in the Scriptures. Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. He will make all things new. Now, Paul gives us something of a timetable in Thessalonians. Again, he says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day, the day of the Lord's return, will not come unless the rebellion comes first." Rebellion probably isn't the best translation of the Greek word. It would better be translated apostasy. Apostasy is falling away from the faith. It's like when Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find the faith on the earth?" There will be a great apostasy before Christ returns. The church herself, the church charged with the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, will become corrupt, will become, excuse me to use a word from Revelation, a harlot, or you can think of another word used in the esteemed King James Version. The church will become unfaithful to the Lord who has redeemed her, to her bridegroom who has washed her and made her white in His own blood and in the water and word of holy baptism. A great falling away from the faith. Now you can see that happening today. It's always been going on. The church has always had to contend against heresy, false teaching, denial of the doctrine of the Scriptures, denial of the atonement of Jesus Christ, denial of the resurrection, denial that Christ is in fact the Son of God become man. And yet, closer to the end, this apostasy will become deeper and more widespread and more pronounced. Hearing that, recognizing that, what should your response be? What should my response be? Well, we could run around like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the apostasy is coming. Or we could commit ourselves anew to standing firmly upon the Word of God, the Word of truth. The Word of truth, the Scriptures that tell us of our sin. The Word of truth, the Scriptures that tell us of God's love for us and how He sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. The Word of truth, the Scriptures by which our faith in Jesus is built up and we are made wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We, dear Christian friends, are to look more closely to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And again, we do that not by looking into our hearts and seeing how we feel about this, not looking to some unimagined vision that crosses our mind, some dream we have at night and taking that as God speaking to us. The one place, the only place you can be sure that God is speaking to you is in His Word, the Bible. As you read that Word yourself, as you hear that Word proclaimed and taught, as you study that Word in your own home, there you can be sure that God is speaking to you. And what does God say to you? Well, God's message is basically twofold. There are two chief teachings of Scripture, the law and the gospel. The law tells us what God demands of us. And because of sin, because we can't fulfill those demands, the law condemns us. It threatens us with judgment and wrath and eternal punishment. Separation from God forever. That's bad trouble. To be separated from the one who created us. To be separated from the one who is life itself. To be separated from the one who became man for us. To die for our sins. To take our sins away. What a horror such would be. How horrible, how terrible. When you hear the law proclaimed, when you hear the commandments, the Ten Commandments, know this, that God is speaking to you to diagnose you as a physician diagnoses the illness, the disease of one of his or her patients. And the disease we have is sin and death. The only remedy to this disease is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, become man, taking upon himself our human flesh and blood so that he may redeem us body and soul, so that he may shed the blood that cleanses us from all sin and iniquity. He takes upon himself our human nature, so ultimately our fallen human nature can be glorified when he returns. And that is what we long for. When Christ returns, it won't be in secret. He won't stand behind the curtain and say, "You guys, here I am. Come on back here." No, every eye shall see him. It shall be as a lightning flash from one end of the heavens to the others. There will be no mistaking it when he returns. And that return is what we long for. You know the word Advent. I mentioned it earlier before the service. Advent basically means coming. And there is the first Advent of our Lord. when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to come in the flesh. There is, you could say, the second advent of our Lord, when he returns in glory to gather together his people to himself. But there's also a second and a half kind of advent. Because though the Lord has not yet returned in glory, he comes to us week after week, Sunday after Sunday, every time we gather around his word and his sacraments. Jesus is present here. He has come to you that the gospel might be proclaimed to you, that your faith might be strengthened, that you, your faith and hope would be secure in Jesus. Jesus comes to you with the gift of his body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus shows up here week after week, and if you are unable to get to church because of illness or accident, because of old age, Jesus comes to you when I, as your pastor, visit you, bringing you the word of Christ, bringing you Christ's body and blood. And why does Jesus keep showing up like this? In a hidden way, yes, veiled beneath the form of bread and wine and the water of baptism. It's to get you ready, to prepare you for his great reappearing at the end of the age, so that you won't shrink back in terror when he is revealed, but you will hail his coming with alleluia and praises, because he comes to make all things new. He comes for you, that you might be a participant fully and completely in the new creation, the new heaven and earth, the glorified heaven and earth, in which all of the old things that we know so well in this fallen world are forever done away with. So let this be your hope, dear friends in Christ. Not in a new house, not in a new car, not in a new job, not in a new relationship. Let your hope be anchored firmly in Christ as the Holy Spirit works through the Word and the Sacrament, so that you might behold Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and prepares you for the life of the world to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.